Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon, Just the News family. Hello, America, and happy Wednesday. Violence, hatred, instability, raging on our college campuses. More than four dozen college campuses currently experiencing violent protests by anti-Israel, pro-Palestine protesters. Last night, New York police cleared out a building that had been taken over by the protesters. Today, UCLA canceled classes because there was such unrest on campus. Fordham University, there are reports that there are protests breaking out there. Many campuses across the country, and increasingly, the American public are having enough. This is something that actually has begun to boomerang on the left, on the players in the Biden White House, the university professors and university administrators who've been unable to quell this violence. There's just been an extraordinary amount of unhappiness in America, and it's starting to show up now in polling. And I think this is one of those really important things to keep an eye on. The American public are tiring of these protests. And let me just have something out there. Scott Rasmussen, the great pollster, we have him on this show often. Just a few hours ago, he posted the findings of his latest poll. 71% of voters favor arresting pro-Palestinian protesters who occupy buildings. And if schools can't or won't protect Jewish students, 65% favor sending the National Guard to do so. This is a poll that was just completed by RMG Research, Scott Rasmussen's company. The American public, they're tired of it. Fast, fast, fast. And I think that that creates a political dynamic like we haven't seen in a very, very long time. People see these for what they are. These aren't anti-war protests. These are anti-Israel, hateful protests that are disrupting the paid educations of Jewish students just because they are Jewish. And I think that that is the very important dynamic that is now at work for so many Americans right now. People do not want to see any more of this. And those who embrace it, the left of Joe Biden's party, they're going to start to pay a political price. I think that's what you start to see in this data here today. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. All right, folks. Welcome back from the commercial break. Now, we have a lot of great stories up on Just the News overnight. We've had all the developments, whether it was the clearing of the building on Columbia University or the developments on UCLA and other places. We're on top of every bit of a great team of people working, and I think that that's something that we're very proud of. Now, there's some great stories out today. There was a kind of a fun moment on City College last night where a New York Police Department officer lowered a Palestinian flag that had been raised on the City College campus and replaced it with an American flag, two cheers and excitement. That's a really important thing. While there's unhappy and discontent on college campuses and the display of hatred we see there, we're also beginning to see a significant growth in unhappiness about the economy. The economy is not what Joe Biden has been trying to sell it to be. U.S. consumer confidence fell last month to its lowest point in over a year and a half. Actually, 21 months ago, it's down from 103.1 in March to 97. That's a big drop. Increased prices for food and gas and overall concerns, particularly with political and global unrest conflicts, are the reasons why the conference board that creates this economic indicator is citing. That's a pretty significant development. People are unhappy about the economy. They're unhappy about the state of the world. They're unhappy about what's going on in college campuses. There's a lot that is going on. Later this week, we're going to play an interview we did with Congressman Barry Loudermilk, the chairman of the January 6th subcommittee investigation, the one that's unraveled a lot of the truths that have been hidden from us when the Democrats ran their investigation. He announced yesterday to us that he's expanding his probe, going to interview Pentagon officials and Democrat staff of the January 6th. That is a big deal. We'll have a whole lot more on that over the next few days, but that's an important one. Down in Georgia, a state lawmaker, Misha Mayner, a Republican from Atlanta, is suing top Fulton County officials, including the district attorney prosecuting Donald Trump. We know who she is, right? That is Fannie Willis. Her lawsuit, which is filed in Fulton County Superior Court, she's suing under the same standards of the racketeering law that Trump was being prosecuted with. She is seeking various damages, including punitive damages and attorney fees. According to the lawsuit, Mayner alleges a campaign worker she hired in January 2019 and fired the following month began to stalk her after termination. A Fulton grand jury indicted the campaign worker on charges of aggravated stalking and violating a temporary protective order that Mayner had secured. Willis dismissed one of the stalking cases, and the district attorney offered a plea deal for the other one, and Mayner did not approve of the deal and said Willis did not notify her of the offer, violating the Georgia Crime Victims Bill of Rights. Let's keep an eye on this one. This has a potential to be an interesting lawsuit for a prosecutor who's increasingly under significant duress. Marjorie Taylor Greene today said she's going to proceed ahead with the motion to vacate. I think it's going to be a loser because Democrats have offered to make up any votes that Republicans don't have. You heard Andy Biggs, someone who's not happy with Mike Johnson, say they don't have the votes. We'll ask our first guest today. We got a wonderful first guest today, Congressman Josh Perkin from the great state of Oklahoma. He is part of the House Homeland Security Committee that last night dropped that bombshell. And that bombshell was very clearly that The Biden administration has moved hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens, aliens who were not entitled to enter the country, through to airports, 45 different airports around the country. Most of them, or the large majority of the people came were being pushed through Florida airports. But they're distributing these illegal aliens under a parole program. We're going to ask Josh Brkeen about that. We're going to ask him about so many other important things that are going on, including, will he vote for the motion to vacate and fire Mike Johnson? We'll also ask him a lot about what's going on the college campuses. That's important. He also has a very important letter that he sent over to the CDC about in vitro fertilization. We'll cover that. That's a really important issue that a lot of people aren't paying attention to. Meanwhile, also in Congress today, the House subcommittee that's been looking at the origins of the COVID-19 virus and the pandemic response, it's the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, it recommended Wednesday that the Eco Health Alliance president, Peter Daszak, be disbarred and that the organization itself not receive any more federal funding. That came from Chairman Brad Wenstrup. He's doing some great work. We're covering that. And I think Greg Piper have a bigger story tonight on all we've learned about EcoHealth Alliance and Peter Daszak. He'll get his chance on his side as well to tell his story today. But Wenstrup, very harsh, tough opening statement about what he thinks the role of EcoHealth Alliance and Peter Daszak is. And we'll keep an eye on that throughout the day. In the second part of the show today, we got a good guest. It's AMAC Wednesday, right? So you know about that. On AMAC Wednesday, we bring in our good friend Bobby Charles, who gives us an update. We're going to talk about the college campuses. We're going to talk about an event he did, I think, up in Maine, 2,000 people. A lot of excitement there. Also, we'll talk about the growing discontent about what's going on in the college campuses, growing discontent about spending in America, and the growing alliance of multiple conservative groups all working together now to do a get out the vote, particularly an early get out the vote operation. We'll keep you posted on all of those issues as quickly as we can. All right, that's our show today. We've got a good one before we go to commercial break. In addition to it being AMAC Wednesdays, where you can go to amac.us/justnews and get a 4-year membership for just $30, one of the best prices ever offered by the group. I'm a card-carrying member of AMAC. You should be too. You can thank them for supporting Just the News by becoming a member yourself, joining the Patriots there. But I also have another group I want to shout out, my good friends at Donors Trust. They've been supportive for a long time of Just the News and John Solomon Reports, and they offer donor advised funds or giving accounts. You can use these funds as your own charitable investment account and manage your charitable giving in a way that's smart, tax advantage, and private and aligned with your values. Donors Trust clients are using their funds to support charities helping their local communities while also using their giving account to simultaneously support think tanks and liberty-minded organizations that believe in constitutional rights. Those constitutional rights shouldn't get lost in times of emergency like we're seeing now. It is time today to take a closer look at Donors Trust and join their community of liberty-minded donors by opening a donor advised fund. Go do this today. All you got to do is go to donorstrust.org/justnews. DonorsTrust.org/justnews for their ultimate survival guide to charitable giving and learn how a donor advised fund can preserve your ability to give to the charities you love. That's DonorsTrust.org/justnews. Go check them out today. All right, we'll be right back with our exclusive interview with Josh Brkeen, Congressman from Oklahoma, right after these messages.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, folks. Welcome back from the commercial break. Yesterday, you probably saw a news alert move on Just the News mid-afternoon. The House Homeland Security Committee finally got subpoenaed documents returned to it by the Homeland Security Department, which had dragged its feet for a very long time, showing that over 200,000 migrants entered the country over an 8-month window under a parole program. They were flown into 45 cities, basically one of the largest human trafficking operations ever detected. And it was done at the behest of our government and Joe Biden. We're very lucky to be joined by one of the members of that committee and one of the most common sense members in Congress, Congressman Josh Brkine. Congressman, good to have you on the show, sir.
Yeah, we're glad to be with you. Thanks for keeping us active with you. We like being on your show.
We're very lucky to have you on. We learn so much every time you come on, and you've got a lot of great oversight work going on. I want to start with something that's just on everyone's minds. The new polling data is out. Americans just want this nonsense, this violence, this hatred to stop on college campuses. Very rough night last night, tough day already today. Your thoughts on how we get this campus situation under control?
Well, the power of the purse. Federalist 58, Madison talked about there's no more leverage than the purse that Congress has. And so number one, you send the message, if you're going to continue insanity, goodbye federal programming dollars. And John, look, I need to take this even further because I'm someone who strives to be constitutional. Thomas Jefferson, one of his State of the Union addresses, who wanted federal involvement in education, made the statement. He said, look, I want to be involved in education, but you'd have to have a constitutional amendment to make it legal. And so I want to start there for anybody who's mishearing. Number one, we have turned our founders' blueprint upside down by the control. That's why since 1979, the federal government getting involved in more than a statistical service. Most people don't know the federal government was never involved in program direction or sending monies into the classroom prior to 1979. It was a statistical service. And so federal education involvement is in terms of a 250-year history, it's a relatively new thing. And so I want to start with that and say you can't make a constitutional case for it. So at a minimum, even my colleagues who won't go so far as what Reagan did is saying we need to get rid of the Department of Education – well, at least we can agree. If you're threatening the lives of students on campus, federal dollars ought to be immediately shut off. So that's how you correct that.
Yeah. It's such a simple equation, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I sent a letter with Eric Burleson, my colleague from Missouri, basically calling upon the donor class of Columbia. Then follow what happened with the Patriots owner and saying, I'm done. I'm done making endowment investment into a college that's creating an atmosphere where, you know, led by these diversity, equity, inclusion groups, you know, it's an interesting study that came before a Homeland Security Committee where they went to 60 colleges, looked at their diversity, equity, inclusion staff, analyzed 800 different social media posts by these federally paid for, sponsored staffers, and 95% of their communication regarding Israel is anti-Israel, and 60% of their communication on China was pro-China. So diversity, equity, inclusion is not all what it's cracked up to be. I gave that information to Virginia Fox, who's the education chair. Man, there's so much lacking accountability on these college campuses, and federal spending needs to be pulled back.
Do you think the appetite in Congress is there now, that Congress has had enough and that there can either be a unified Republican caucus or maybe even some Democrats that cross over? It seems like Americans are demanding an answer. Do you think there might be enough will in Congress to do something here to send a message?
Well, yeah, look, there's a bill this week that's going to kind of address pulling back funding from education that is touting in these unsafe environments for those that are of the Jewish community. Full transparency, there's a particular element to that bill I've got some concerns on because it references the definition of anti-Semitism to an international Holocaust group. And just follow me for a moment. I've got some problems. There's a number of us in the Freedom Caucus that have got some problems with that because it allows the definition to be determined by this international group. Part of their definition of anti-Israel or anti-Semitism includes to say that Jews killed Jesus. And if you say that, they define that as anti-Semitism. Well, anybody who has a biblical understanding and knows their Bible, the Jews did kill Jesus. That's not anti-Semitic to say that. That's the reality of history. And so I've got a concern Even I'm one of those that absolutely is supportive of Israel, supportive of, but we've got to make sure our definitions are not surrendered to international groups who, are allowing history to be undermined. If you make a statement like that, you got to protect the first. You got to protect the First Amendment, and you have to protect students, and we can do both.
Yeah, that's an exciting thing. So, what's the sense of your colleagues? I mean, I'm obviously working through the issues like that, but there seems to be a growing sentiment that Congress is going to have to step into this void. The president's not doing anything. Campuses are waffling. This might be Congress's opportunity to jump into the void, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's on our doorstep today to deal with that. My hope is that we'll correct that definition problem, because for those of us who want to support the measure, I can't put that definition in there. I mean, for somebody to say that Jews killed Jesus, look, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and that's a reality. I have a love for Israel. I have a love for the concept of those who bless Israel themselves will be blessed. But I also have a love for truth, and that's absolutely biblical. And so Jesus was a Jew, and we know what happened there.
Congressman, there are so many other places where you're doing important work. Also, I think you make important statements. You had, I think, one of the best explanations for why you voted against the Ukraine foreign aid package. Talk a little bit about what that rationale is and why it's aligned with a lot of American sentiments today.
Well, 100% of our discretionary budget, what Congress spends 12 months debating the spending levels for, last year our discretionary budget was $1.7 trillion. Our deficit was $1.7 trillion. I'm going to break that down in layman terms. That means that mandatory spending, that which Congress doesn't get to determine the spending levels for, but is already preset and only Congress determines who's eligible and who's not, called mandatory spending, consumed all revenue last year. So Medicare, Social Security, Medicare, food stamps, veteran benefits, interest on the debt, that's the bulk of mandatory spending, consumed all revenue, and we had nothing to debate what Congress determined spending levels for last year. Our discretionary budget was $1.7 trillion. That's all defense spending, all education, all Department of Labor. And yet our discretionary budget was $1.7 trillion. Our deficit was $1.7 trillion. We're living on 100% borrowed money in terms of what Congress determines appropriation spending levels for. So the cow is dry. Her udders are completely without the ability to provide any nutrition to the calf. And so when you have a situation where the cow is dry, that she's got nothing left to give, then you got to get serious about spending restraint. And the $100 billion, let me just say this, that's enough to secure our border. This is what went to Ukraine, $60 billion is enough to secure our border, build physical structure two times over. In rough math that we've done in our office, if you do 200 miles for every $5 billion, then you can get to about 1,300 mile of border wall construction within, a little over $30 billion. And that was $60 billion going to Ukraine. We could have secured by physical barriers our entire southern border, what we sent to Ukraine. Ukraine has already received $113 billion from the United States taxpayer and 100% debt spending. And Europe says that, sits there while this is in their backyard and expects an American to do more. There's nine countries that have a higher debt-to-GDP ratio than our nation, only nine out of 200 countries. Europe is flush with much more ability financially to step up to the plate than what we are. And if you're thinking in terms of our national security and this debt loading and where we're headed in 10 years when Medicare and Social Security hit insolvency and we don't have the ability to fund those, a part of mandatory spending hits insolvency, then this inflation every family's been feeling will only get worse. So economic security is our national security interest. China has no intent, I think, to hit us front on. They know where we're at financially. Why not try to destroy a country from within? Why would you wait to take them on full frontal? Wait till their hyperinflation hits them, and then they're weakened. We better get our fiscal house in order.
And it's funny, the rationale that you described is so aligned with what Americans are saying. There was a poll by Rasmussen Reports just 6-7 days ago. 57% of likely U.S. voters believe that the U.S. spends too much on foreign aid. 57%. Only 33% said not enough or about right. So 57%. You and your sentiments are really aligned with where the American people are right now, which is, I think, really a big moment in our moment. I think people are taking stock that hey, this is starting to cost us and run up our deficit. So I want to talk about the big work and important work.
Hey, John, can I add something to that really
quick? Please.
So I worked for a gentleman by the name of Tom Coburn. I've had both free market experience and government experience over the course of 20 years. I had a business, but I worked for a gentleman that was respected because of he was a fiscal hawk. His name was Tom Coburn. I worked for him almost 20 years ago for a season. And he was talking about, and I'll never forget going to a hearing that he had held. Barack Obama was a senator then. And they were talking about, I remember Barack Obama making the comment, well, foreign aid is only 1% of total spend for our nation. Well, back then, 20 years ago, it was $3 trillion was our budget. We're double that now. Just in 20 years, 250 years as a nation, we've doubled in 20 years our budget. We're spending $6.2 trillion now. So what was 31%, you know, 20 years ago, it's now $60 billion. So we sent $60 billion to Ukraine that I voted against. The question has to be asked, then why don't we, if Ukraine was such a priority, why not cut the foreign aid expenditure to all these countries that are receiving foreign aid help? It's $60 billion. Then let's suspend that for a year, and we could have paid for what went to Ukraine. I had an amendment on that bill that would have cut what was called the financial local state recovery fund, which had $90 billion. I put that amendment forward. The Rules Committee heard, I did a hearing on that to say this $95 billion on this foreign aid package. Let's take the $90 billion left out of the COVID funds, the American Rescue Plan Act. There's still $90 billion that's being pulled out for states and localities, and they're spending it like Arizona, spending on dance classes for illegals. I'm not making that up. State of Washington used it to spend $1,000 for 340,000 illegals at a cost of $340 million, just the state of Washington. So I said, COVID ended last year by emergency declaration status. Why would we leave $95 billion still on the books for COVID relief for state and localities? Why don't we take that funding and use it for this purpose? And yet the Congress wouldn't do that. I mean, we're just living in never land up here.
Yeah, and we are living at the cost of the American people. There's no doubt about it. Sir, you sit on the Homeland Security Committee. Tremendous work by Chairman Green and your team and everyone else to finally force into the public the actual locations of where illegal aliens who weren't entitled to enter the country were paroled into the country by President Biden over the last couple of years. 45 airports, a lot of them, and the largest number going through Florida, but a really significant flow of human trafficking for people that the government doesn't even dispute. They're not entitled to come into the country. Joe Biden just let them in. How shocking was this data, and what should we take from it?
Yeah, I mean, when first people heard about this a month and a half ago, that 350,000 people are not going through the southern border illegally to get into the country. They're just flown at a rate of 80% to the Miami airport or the Fort Lauderdale airport, as you and I talked, you know, offline a while ago. 80%, 350,000 coming through Florida. I mean, it's and then they're sponsored. I asked the Department of Homeland Security several weeks ago, you can find it on my social media page, where I asked them, because they're supposed to have a sponsor, right? Number one, they're violating the rules of law. But then my orchestra has made it where they can get sponsored. And I asked their department, well, can you assure the American people that these non-government organizations aren't paying for the flights also? They couldn't answer that question. So it's not only that they're not coming through the southern border, the CBP One app is being abused. My orchestra set this thing up. You get paroled in the country. All you got to do is fill out an application through your little computer, download the app, get on a plane, fly through Miami, and get entrance into the country to be given a notice to disappear. That's kind of a play on words, notice to appear, which is we know is turned out to be as long as a decade before they have to go before a judge.
Yeah, basically, it's a notice to disappear. That's right, yeah.
And yet, they don't even know if the grant funding going to the Catholic charities or other groups that we know are involved in helping entice them to come into the country, if they're paying for these flights that are cost of $500 to $1,000. I mean, it is unbelievable. And so the American people, I would wish we had leverage right now with the budget that was concluded with what happened with Ukraine. I wish we had purse strings, power of the purse leverage left. But the reality is the only way we're going to be able to solve this in the next 6 months is that 6 month head on November, where you get an administration that actually believes in building physical barriers, like Joe Biden in 2006 when he was a U.S. senator, said, the reason I believe in physical barriers is because of the drugs that flow between the ports of entry. That was his statement in 06 on the Secure Fence Act. And then he becomes president and says, not another foot shuts down 200-mile physical barrier. So until you get somebody operating a common sense like 45 to be number 47, this thing's not going to change. And I'm sad to say that, but it's reality. It's the presidential election that's going to have to fix this now.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. So I want to turn to one other thing. You have you do such important oversight work. You're bringing things to people's attention. You had a very important letter the other day to the CDC director, Mandy Cohen, regarding the in vitro fertilization industry, IVF, concerned about oversight and a lack of accountability. Tell us what you and Congressman Rosendale and Congressman Clyde raised with the CDC.
So what I want to make sure I share with people is, you know, people that are pro-life will, you know, often say it was rightly decided in the overturning of Roe v. Wade to return this back to the states. And so I would say that Congress had never spoken, and that's true. Congress had never spoken. But I also want to add on to this. When people say, well, should we just leave it to the states and should Congress do anything? When you've got New York that is willing to sacrifice up to the point of conception human life. And my take is you can't divide the Declaration of Independence from the Constitution. The Constitution ends with the words of the 12th. What does that mean? It means counting the 12 calendar years since the Declaration of Independence, our birth certificate wrote these famous words that the role of government is to secure the right. What was it referencing? The right to life, liberty, and happiness. So that's what our birth certificate says. The governments are instituted among man for these purposes, to secure the rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So for me, wanting to follow the constitutional intent, the Constitution is not devoid of the Declaration of Independence. All Federal Register documents often refer to our birth certificate of 1776. Our Declaration of Independence, unlike what liberals will tell you, that it is not a part of the rule of law. The Declaration absolutely is. The Constitution says of the 12th, tied into it, it's our birth certificate. We have a role among government to secure the right to life. And when you have a lack of ability to know how many human lives are being discarded by the industry and what decisions are being made in that destruction of human life, it's right for the American people to put our founding document, what Thomas Jefferson wrote, to secure the right to life. Government's instituted among man for that purpose.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. One last thing, so I want to ask about, obviously, Marjorie Taylor Greene just a short while ago said she's going to go ahead and proceed with the motion to remove Speaker Johnson next Wednesday. It appears as the date. Where do you come down on this? What do you think will happen?
I am greatly concerned when I looked at the vote count last year where myself and the 20 of us that brokered a deal with McCarthy that said, you know, in recipient of the gavel, we will have spending cut amendments. That was what the 20 of us did, at the head of the year a year ago. And it led to first time in almost a decade where individual members could put spending cut amendments. And myself and the Freedom Caucus, we put forward, authored and co-authored over $350 billion of the spending cuts. What you saw, though, is we had on average out of 220 Republicans, 80 that would support to up to a maximum of about 120 that would support going back to 2019 spending levels. Okay. Why am I telling you that? Out of 220, you had about 80 to 120 maximum that would support going back to 2019 spending levels where our discretionary budget was 30% less. It shows you we have a real problem within the Republican conference of fiscal conservancy. And so if we can't go back to 2019 levels when 100% of our discretionary budget is now borrowed money, man, what's the solution? So I'm giving you a context. We've got to have a conservative conscience awakening within this conference when you got that low of number of 220. We go into a motion to vacate. I'm concerned, how do we come out with a better solution, a more conservative solution?
That is the question. I know voters really thought they were going to get one in January of 2023, and it hasn't really materialized that way. I mean, there's some important victories. HR2 got passed, things like that, but the spending cuts and the border just haven't happened. Is a change in leadership now the way to go, you think, or do you think it's a process that really plays out when voters speak on November 5th?
Well, I will just say that I'm holding out hope that our speaker is going to start showing what is a 20-year history being ADF and Liberty First. And, you know, I had a conversation with him this morning about the conservative thing, to be done. And so I'm holding that hope our speaker is going to start showing the American people what's in him.
I mean, he clearly, on a value system, he clearly has strong conservative values. It's just been the effect of his governing that hasn't resulted in very many of those conservative values getting into policy. And I think that's what people are going to be looking for. Congressman, it is such an honor to have you on the show. You're doing such important work. We always learn so much when you're on the show. Thank you for joining us today. A lot of fun.
John, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
You as well, sir. Thank you so much. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. It is Wednesday, so you know what that means. It is AMAC Wednesday, our time to talk to our good friends at the Association of Mature American Citizens about all they're doing to make this country civil, secure, smart, sane again, and also to talk about some of the big pressing policy issues that they're getting through and succeeding in winning, even when a lot of people feel like the country's in trouble right now. They're big wins by AMAC. I can't think of a better person to bring in at this moment with our campuses aflame with hatred and violence, with a growing threat from China, a recurring threat from Iran. He's a former Assistant Secretary of State. He's a former chief investigator for oversight in Congress, once was a clerk for a federal appellate judge. He has an impeccable career today. He's the national spokesman for AMAC, our good friend, Bobby Charles. Bobby, welcome back to the show.
John, it is the highlight of my week to be on your show.
Same for me. I love every time we talk. We have so much to talk about. I want to start just with this insanity on the college campuses. You, I think a couple weeks ago, laid out a really smart way to deal with this. We just had Josh Perkin on. He says, listen, Congress is going to exercise the power of the person the next week. They're going to punish these colleges for not cracking down. This is a pretty extraordinary moment. People, the polling, new poll out today by Rasmussen, Scott Rasmussen, a super majority of Americans think these guys should be protested and expelled, or excuse me, arrested and expelled. Americans are tired of this, aren't they?
They are. You know, John, I went to law school at Columbia, so I know that lay of the land very well, and at one point taught at Harvard, so I know that position well. I'll tell you right now, if you unpack this, it's really layers of error. Rule of law only matters if you enforce the law, and the Supreme Court is very clear about where free speech starts and where it stops. It stops with violence, and the takeover of a building is violence. That's number one. Number two, obviously, foreign ne'er-do-wells intending to do damage in this country don't belong in this country. Number three, you have professional organizers involved here. This is something new. We didn't have in the 60s, other than Saul Alinsky, you didn't have people who were professional paid disruptors who intentionally seeded violence. So those people need to be prosecuted. The interesting part, and you mentioned supermajority, what's fascinating is that everyone from, you know, the left-leaning New York City mayor to pick your favorite person on the common sense right and the AMAC generation would tell you this is just dead wrong, okay? So we don't tolerate people walking and smashing windows because they don't like the prices on things, and we don't tolerate people walking into universities and disrupting. I mortgaged my future to go to Columbia Law School. I didn't have a penny to my name, and I worked very hard to earn the money to get there. The last thing I would have wanted is to have somebody tell me I needed to go virtual. Of course, there was no virtual in those days, But to tell you that I couldn't any longer attend classes with the tens of thousands of dollars that I had paid to be there. So this is a disruption of property rights, personal rights, an affliction that really is hitting campuses all over the country. And I will credit those college presidents in places like Florida who have stepped up and said, listen, there are consequences with actions. We have laws because they mean something. And you are not going to be tolerated here for one more minute. You're done. You're gone. And I think that's the kind of approach we've got to take to people who stir violence on an educational campus.
Yeah, so important. It really is important. A big revelation yesterday. You and I have talked for quite some time, and I think you've had this bullseye for more than a year, way before Congress caught up to it. One of the largest human trafficking operations ever, and it's done at the behest of the American government and with American tax dollars and with tax-exempt money from nonprofits funded by the federal government. Last night, the House Homeland Security Committee released data that it got under subpoena showing hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens allowed into the country under parole and flown into some 45 airports, the vast majority of them coming into Florida. Remarkable. You warned of this. The scope is still stunning even when you hear it. This is a big deal, right? And it's probably time for Congress to do something to stop it, right?
Well, let me, I don't make, often revelations on the air, but let me say that, John, I'll sort of make one now. There is a network that we have now scratched the surface and found. And I am going to tell you that I am one of those people who moves very slowly toward conspiracy. I did 5 years of investigations on the Hill, as you know, including Waco and others. I don't buy into the concept that things are tightly tied together until I see it. Now we know that there is a network nationally, they call it a network for new Americans, which is seeding these quote-unquote Office of New Americans. We have one up here in Maine that was snuck into the budget by a one-party state Democrat-controlled legislature, the goal of which up here in Maine is to import 75,000 illegal aliens under the radar, give them housing in a state where the only thing that you need to present to vote is proof of housing, proof of residence. You don't need a citizenship card. You don't need anything else. Any state that has that and doesn't have voter ID is in deep trouble because this network is seeding itself so that it will go nationwide, being able to pull illegal aliens into states. Here's a state with 1.3 million people. You don't think that 75,000 new illegal votes, all being pushed to vote Democrat, can't speak English, don't know what to do, half of them tied to drug traffickers, nevertheless are here. Don't think that they're going to tip our election. Sure they will. So we have to immediately stop this kind of thing. We have to be alert at the polls. We need to make clear that voter IDs matter. And, I go back to Benjamin Franklin, right? The whole notion that he was congratulated on the formation of a republic. And he said, yeah, we have a republic, not a tyranny, if we can keep it. And that means us, you and me. We have to be out there saying illegal immigration is not just an inconvenience. It's not just a spur for crime. It's not a salt mine at the bottom of the sea stirring sex trafficking and drug trafficking. It's far worse than that. It is an intentional effort to tip races in purple. Like Maine is 50%, really 50% Republican. Maybe geographically it's 90% Republican. So the bottom line is it's the state that's dominated by Democrats, and they are trying to put the fix in, and we got to stop that.
Yeah, it is such an extraordinary moment, and the amount of money going to facilitate this trafficking rather than to secure the border is really mind-boggling. You had an opportunity to address a large group of people, I think about 2,000 last week. I think you have a great sense of where the American public is. There is a tectonic shift going on in the plates beneath the political landscape, and I think you captured a good part of that when you were talking last week. Tell us what happened when you engaged with those 2,000 remarkable folks.
This is one of the more recent speeches I've given. I gave one in Georgia. I've been around the country, and I am stunned. What I'm stunned by, so I spoke to a convention, again, as you say, of 2,000, 1,700, 2,000, somewhere in there. They were explosive in their hunger for a change in the way that life is moving. We can pick the top 10 issues. We don't have to waste airtime on it today, but we know what these issues are. A guy named Peter from Freeport came up to me and said, by the way, I listen to John Solomon all the time. I know you're on there. God bless you for getting, no, this is in rural Maine. And I'm telling you, the public out there right now is ready to get rid of socialism, get rid of all this disruption and distortion and destruction of our economy, get rid of the open border, get rid of this international disgrace we call foreign policy, where we've got Afghanistan and Iran and China all being empowered. They are sick of it. And, you know, it reminds me of the old movie where the guy says, throw open the window and shout out there, I'm sick of it. I'm not going to take it anymore. That's where people are at. And when you hear an explosive group, Sean Spicer was speaking before me the evening before me, and people are explosive in their view that they have just had it. And I don't know of another time, maybe the beginning of the Reagan era when people were tired of the Carter malaise, but it's almost more than that because they see their culture being stolen. They see their kids being imperiled. They see the parental rights being taken away. They see socialism being imposed upon them. This thing like this New America's Office, which is an absolute abomination. They're not new Americans. And what are they doing, by the way? In this state, they're taking housing away from veterans and giving it to illegal aliens. In effect, because housing that was built for those that are low income or otherwise entitled to that benefit, they and who, by the way, pay for it, it's now being given free to the illegal aliens together with all kinds of other goodies. So the notion is, you know, what we're witnessing here is an inflection point in the entire country. Made emblematic in places that happen to be rural and smaller because the Democrats can push dark money into those places. But it's a moment in which there's a real time for choosing, to borrow from Ronald Reagan's 1964 speech. This is a time for choosing. You either believe that the rights that you were taught, the values you were taught by the greatest generation, by your parents and your grandparents matter, and you will defend them or you will lose them.
AMAC is a big part of a coalition that's trying to get the vote out with AWF, America Works First, or America First Works, AFW, excuse me. They're also, AMAC, doing some extraordinary things. I was at the boot camp for boomers last week in Pennsylvania. There was an earlier one in Florida. You're training people to get engaged in the election, to be observers, to help get other people to vote. You're also winning a lot of victories in state legislatures and in Congress. Tell us about some of the victories that AMAC has scored. There's been like four or five of them just in the last month.
In the last week.
In the last week, that's right, yeah.
It's unbelievable, John. I mean, I think one of the things people get mesmerized by, sort of the bright and shiny thing, is things going on in Congress and, you know, all the machinations of personal egos, you know, crossing swords with each other, and of course the national presidential. But in fact, a lot of what's really matters, and this is true for all time, but it's especially true now, is what happens close to home, what happens in your town, in your legislature. What AMAC has done with such care and method, and with now such success, is to cause state legislatures, particularly those that are closely divided, to think a lot harder than they have been thinking by virtue of, you know, deploying tens of thousands of AMAC members to send emails and engage and talk to their legislators at that level. And they have turned back in the last week. They've turned back ranked choice voting in a couple of states. They've made huge progress against things like late-term abortion. In Maine, they killed a gun confiscation law that was masquerading as a red flag law. Basically, if you were offended and therefore felt threatened by a neighbor, you could call in law enforcement. Well, you know, what does that mean? You put a sign on your lawn and all of a sudden people don't like you and their safe space isn't a safe space. I mean, it gets to be nonsensical. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't even think Joseph Stalin or George Orwell thought about this kind of sort of fast track machinations of, you know, fast track sort of distortion of words and creation of legislation that was really all intended to push a leftist ideology. But what AMAC is doing at the legislative level, John, is in some ways path-breaking. I don't know of any other organization. There have been groups, obviously, that pushed, for example, Second Amendment rights and effectively did that. And we represent, you know, we're all about the First Amendment, Second Amendment. fourth, fifth, sixth, 10th, and fiscal solvency and, you know, core values, the Reagan values, I'll say, strong defense, smaller government, lower taxes. But at the same time, there's a tendency to forget that it's really the undercarriage of the vessel where the wheels meet the tracks, where big things happen, and that's state legislatures. And they are doing in Maine and all over the country, every single state, tens of thousands of AMAC members. It's kind of like a civilian AMAC army out there saying, do not ignore us, do not forget us, do not displace us with this leftist ideology, because that's not what we believe in. It's not what we want for our kids, and it's not what our parents taught us, and it's not why all those veterans fought who are lying in graves all over this country.
Such a very important reminder. There are generations that went before us that kept this nation great, and it's our generation to make sure we don't hand off a country that's worse off than the one we got. And it's a reality about real potential right now if we don't act quickly. When you see the 2+ million members of AMAC right now, there seems to be an energy, and it seems to be an energy that is representative of the country at large. There's going to be a lot of AMAC members out there being poll observers, going out and trying to get people to vote and to make a difference on November 5th. Have you seen energy like this in the voting masses in a long time?
I have not. I mean, you know, you'd have to almost go back to 1980, I think. Obviously, 2016 was interesting. There are moments in between. I don't think 88 was as exciting as 80 or 84. And I think this is really a banner year. This is the year in which states like Maine say, we are going to take back our legislature. We're going to take back control of our lives. At the national level, this is when we say, we are going to take back the U.S. Senate. We're going to stop all this, you know, ping pong back and forth within the Republican Party. We're going to think about the 11th commandment of Ronald Reagan, which is a Republican does not attack another Republican. The principles are too big, and we're going to take back that, you know, get the House margin up there. And I would like to believe they will have an effect at the national level with the presidency. I think that AMAC members who are value focused, John, they really, I don't know how to frame it exactly, but these are not superficial people. They believe deeply in the things. That's why they join AMAC. You know, go to AMAC.us, $16 a year, you get an amazing magazine, you get all this engagement, but you get ways in which you personally can contribute to the betterment of the country. And you've been around a long time. I worked for Ronald Reagan in his first term White House. I was a kid with pie eyes, just trying to understand what was going on around me for a couple of years. I never would have imagined the country would have slid as far as it has away from the priorities he set. But we need to remember that this kind of thing, this kind of action at the local level, action at the state level, is incredibly effective in restoring a country, particularly a Democratic or a Republican, a country which is a representative republic, back to its roots again. And that's what Reagan did between 80, by the way, and 84. He won 49 states in 84, and he did that because he realigned blue-collar America around the values that they were taught by their parents, their grandparents, and frankly, a mirror reflection of the founding fathers. And that's what we've got to get back to remembering. We are not an accident, this country, John. We are the function. You know this. I know this. AMAC members know this. But anybody listening who hasn't thought about it, America is not an accident. It is the result of incredible sacrifice and risk-taking by business leaders, by journalists, and by veterans who basically believed it was worth preserving the future. That's what AMAC's all about. And that is what we, I think, Americans who really understand the stakes are about and need to stay about until through this election and beyond.
Yeah, these are the stakes. And that grandeur that America has always achieved, particularly in times of great crisis, times of unrest, times of uncertainty, we have to fulfill it for this generation as well. Bobby, we love having you on. We love all the work. We always learn so many amazing things. Last question for you before we head into the sunset for today. There's a lot of things going on. Next week, there's going to be a vote on a bill that will substantially impose financial penalties on college campuses, kind of where we started this conversation today. That power of the purse could be the most powerful signal Congress can send to these sort of feckless leaders. There's a fun quote last night from the education chairwoman, Virginia Fox, saying that we're going to create an accountability. We're going to create a consequence for mealy-mouthed, spineless college leaders. I haven't heard Congress talk like that in a long time. The power of the purse could be the very first sign that Congress can send to these campuses that they've made a huge mistake.
You know, I think that's true, John. And sometimes you pull a thread from a sweater and the entire sweater comes apart. And I will tell you what I see. There are hundreds of deans, no kidding, on these campuses throughout their undergraduate and graduate programs. All of those deans make a pretty penny. They make a pretty penny off endowments. A lot of these colleges are framed as nonprofits. A lot of these colleges are put in positions where they think they can escape any culpability for anything. They have a kind of impunity. Think about the fact that at the public level, so we're talking about folks like the Ivy Leagues and their endowments are through the roof. But even at the public level, John, you know, 2/3 of a state budget is typically education. And I think a lot of these educators at every level think that they can escape scot-free. And of course, the unions push that idea. Well, I think there's a comeuppance coming. And you know what? You operate with impunity long enough and people are finally going to stop the train and look at you in the eye and say, no more impunity.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And this is the moment where accountability is going to be the only satisfying answer to the American people, and real accountability, costly accountability for what's been allowed to go on. And I think we'll see some of that next week. It'll be very interesting. Bobby, as always, great to have you on. Folks, if you love what Bobby brings to the show every week, if you love what AMAC does every day, whether it's the boot camp for boomers or the speeches or the engagements or the trainings or the work it's doing with legislators, if you like getting discounts like I do, I like pulling out my, I'm a card-carrying member of the AMAC team. If you like any of that, here's a way you can say thank you and also take advantage of what AMAC does. Go to amac.us/justnews, AMAC, amac.us/justnews. You're going to get a monthly magazine. You're going to get a weekly podcast. You're going to get daily great news. You're going to get great daily discounts, special offers on and advice on Medicare insurance, other things. It is an extraordinary benefit to you. You're going to get your money back and more when you sign up for a subscription. But right now, Bobby and his team at AMAC have made a very special offer for Just the News fans. And that is, if you go to amac.us/justnews right now, to the end of the month, you're going to get a 4-year membership for just $30. That's one of the best prices they've ever offered. Go do it today. Go say thank you for supporting Just the News. Thank you for doing all the common sense thing that AMAC is doing to make this country better, to put patriots front and center. Go do that today. Bobby, great job. A lot of fun. We're going to get you back on next week. A lot to talk about, I'm sure, by next Wednesday.
Absolutely. The world is moving at a faster and faster pace. And John, I thank you for doing everything you do.
I love what I do. And particularly every time we get together on Wednesday, it's one of my favorite moments in the podcast. Thanks a lot, Bobby. We'll see you next week.
You bet.
It's hard to believe, but that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. I'm really grateful that each of you could join today. Now, one reminder, a lot of people say, hey, John, do you have an app at the Just the News? And the answer is we sure do. And not only do we have an app, it's in the Apple Store. It's also in the Android Store. It allows you to take the Just the News experience and go in three different ways. You can watch our videos and television shows. You can listen to this podcast and many others like it, like Victor Davis Hanson, or you can read the stories that we do a day, 50, 60, 70 stories a day of the breaking news, investigative reporting, accountability reporting. Go to the iOS App Store or the Android Store today. Download the Just the News app. Read, watch, listen. Three great ways to experience the Just the News content and to join the Just the News family. And if you really want to get involved with the family and say, hey, I want to support your investigative reporting, John Solomon. I want to support the great reporters and the producers and the bookers and everybody that works to make the Just the News experience possible. You can do something really inexpensive that makes a big difference. All you got to do is join the Just the News VIP club. That's right. What do you get for the VIP club? First off, ad-free experience on the website and on your newsletters. No ads, no dancing videos, no autoplay videos. An ad-free experience on Just the News 24/7. Plus, once a month, you get to hang out with me at justthenews.com. We have a town hall. I sit and answer your questions for an hour. We talk about issues you care about. We cover topics that the other media aren't covering. It's an incredible experience to join the family the immediate family of the Just the News team. Great opportunity. Sometimes we bring in our reporters. It's always a delightful time. If you want to get involved in that, go to justthenews.com/subscribe. justthenews.com/subscribe. Quick way to get into the club. It's $4.99 a month, $44.99 a year. Great way to support our journalism, make a difference, and get an enormous benefit yourself. So go check it out today. All right, folks, that wraps up John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great night. God bless this great country of the United States. Be sure to go to justthenews.com if you need that news fix. We got you covered 24/7. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.